Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the second Sunday after Epiphany. My name is Darlene Schwenk, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Design Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, My Lord, What a Morning.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship. We are following the order of service that's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and the absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins, is a called and ordained servant of the Word. I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
The lector this morning is Karen Schaefer. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Karen.
Just a little bit. These are new mics. It's super hot. It's, you know, so it's, if you don't open up, just drop me down. Just right, right there, just a tiny bit.
Okay.
Thanks.
The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb is to be his servant, and to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, "The Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 40 as it's printed in your worship bulletin.
I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand.
He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him.
Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods.
Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us.
None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require.
Then I said, "Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart."
I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know.
I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help.
I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly.
Do not withhold your mercy from me. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 42.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God, God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from Psalm 27, particularly verse number 1. And here's what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I came across a little story about this mom who was with her four-year-old daughter, and they were preparing for bed one evening. Well, the child, this four-year-old, which isn't all that uncommon, of course, was fearful of the dark. And for whatever reason, on this particular occasion, the mom, who was alone with this four-year-old, was also fearful that evening. Well, when the light went out, the little four-year-old girl caught a little glimpse of the moon outside of the window. Mom, she asked, is the moon God's light? Yeah, said the mom. Well, the next question was, will God put his light out and go to sleep like us? Mom replied, nope. God never goes to sleep. that out of simplicity, the simplicity of this little four-year-old's faith, came something rather profound, which, by the way, ended up reassuring the mom. Well, as long as God is awake, then there's no sense in both of us staying awake. And with that, the little girl went to sleep peacefully. You see, that awareness that God was with her made all of the difference for the fear that she was experiencing that night. And it did the same, of course, for Mom. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The psalmist reminds you and me that God is with us, that God is completely in control, that our God is a God who brings light to our darkness. And yet, being real and being honest with each other as we should be, how quickly sometimes we can forget that. Oh, now when things are good in our lives, it's always easy to remember it. But when things are tough, how the devil likes to get into our minds. As circumstances change, as the unforeseen, as the incomprehensible show their ugly face, how our faith can so quickly turn to fear. And there's so much in our lives that can trigger fear, isn't there? Loss, illness, the conditions of the world, our future. How easy it is for our minds to wander to dark places as life happens. How quickly our anxieties can take over as we live in the supposes. You know what I mean by living in the supposes? Suppose this should happen, or that. What would we do? How would we bear it? How our minds can wander. And as our minds wander, the tougher it gets then. That pit in our stomach and the lump in our throat, it's real. And we find that it becomes more regular. I suspect every single one of you in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. I suspect that every one of you in this room have experienced those kinds of feelings before. I once heard it said that fear defeats more people than any other thing in the world. Fear is powerful. Fear can debilitate us. Do you remember the story of Jesus walking on water? And subsequently, Peter walking on water. Everybody remember that just by show of hands? It's a pretty common one, pretty common account in the Bible. But let me just try to summarize it for you or kind of hit on some of the points. If you remember, the disciples, they were out on a boat one day. And there was this big storm that had come across the lake or across the sea. And as that storm came across, the wind and the waves were just so violent. They were pounding up against the boat. And we can only imagine the fear that those disciples must have felt as they were experiencing that. Well, during this big storm, as wind and waves are pounding up against the boat, The disciples see off in the distance what appears to be a man walking on water. You want to talk about more fear? Holy moly. What in the world? Well, to reassure those disciples, of course, Jesus spoke to them. And the words that he spoke to them were these: "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." Now, of course, in good Peter style, because Peter is always, of course, the first one to pipe up, isn't he? Of course, in good Peter style, he says, "Lord, if it's command me to come out on that water." And that's just what happened. Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on water. Focused on Jesus with faith in his heart, he walked with such confidence across that water. But then something happened, didn't it? Do you remember? Anybody remember? He took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he focused on the wind and the waves. Fear overtook him and he sank. You see, fixed on Jesus, he was confident. But fixed on the circumstances and overcome by fear, he sank. There's something remarkably powerful in that message for you and me. As you and I think about our lives, fear can sometimes have us losing focus on our Jesus too. And when we lose focus on him, we're sunk. So much can have us fearful. So much can have us anxious. But our faith, our trust in Jesus, our death-defeating, devil-stomping, fear-flinging Savior, our faith in him, the one who overpowers, is the one who keeps us afloat. And with eyes fixed on him, fear can give way to assurance and hope. Even when those storms are surging, even when the wind and the waves are just pounding against us, even when change is happening and the unexpected is impacting us. If Jesus, by way of his death and resurrection, was able to do something about our biggest fears, sin, death, and the devil, then my goodness, our hearts can be confident that he sure can do something about the so many things that have us fearful right now. I love these words from St. John's Gospel. In this world, you'll have trouble. That's for sure. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, says Jesus. I've overcome the world. We all know fear. We all have fear. And what we learn today is Jesus is just what we need. And don't let anyone tell you any different. His word and his promises, his presence is the answer. The answer to our fear. Jesus, you see, is our power when we feel overtaken and when darkness seems to be so dominant. It's him who Who's our confidence when the wind and the waves are pounding, when evil is lurking? It's this Jesus who says to you and to me, just as he did those disciples, take heart. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I am with you. I'm still active in your life, still active in this world. I haven't fallen asleep. And the light of my love is brilliant. And it's my love to shine any darkness, any fear or anxiety that you might be feeling. Today he says to you and me, let your heart and your mind relax. Put whatever might be causing that fear and anxiety in your heart and your mind, put it to rest. I've got it. And I've got you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to please stand and let's join together in speaking the offertory. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. In addition to those who are printing the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer this week for Donna LaPlante. I saw Donna this past week, the funeral for her brother-in-law, and learned that Donna had some back surgery. So she is she's recovering. It's a slow recovery, I guess, but she is recovering from that surgery. But please do keep her in your prayers that healing might continue to happen. Last week, had we met, I would have offered in the prayers a prayer for Amy Collins. That's Jordan Collins' wife. She had some surgery, went home and was recovering from that surgery, but ended up having to go back to the hospital due to some complications. So the family has asked for more prayers for Amy. So please keep Amy in your prayers. For Fred Haas, that's Rick Maybeck's father-in-law, Becky Maybeck's dad. He is in the hospital with some congestive heart failure issues, so please keep Fred in your prayers. Good news is he's probably going to be home tomorrow, so we rejoice in that. And last but not least, if you would say a special word of prayer for Rose Quintella. Rose is going to be going in for a long-awaited surgery on Tuesday. So please keep Rose in your prayers, that the surgeons might touch her as if God's hands were touching her directly. Keep Ross in your prayers too, that whatever anxiety, whatever fear he might be having in his heart and his mind right now, that those might give way to peace and hope in Christ Jesus. So Ross, we pray for you. We pray for Rose in your time of need. I'm confident that God has got you in his hands. We pray. Let us pray together in the Lord's name and for the mercy he has promised to all in need. For the church, the body of Christ, and the elect whom he has called into faith and fellowship through his Son, for this congregation now gathered at his bidding around his word and table, let us pray to the Lord. For the missionaries in the field, for newly planted congregations, and for each of us in our baptismal calling to worship, witness, prayer, and service, let us pray to the Lord. For husbands and wives, for all women with child, for children and families, for the Spirit to renew our appreciation for the sacred gift of life and our responsibility to protect life from conception to its natural end, let us pray to the Lord. For the agencies and ministries that support pregnant women and their children, for our service to the poor and those in need, and for God's blessings upon all of our work of mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For the nation and our president, for the governor of this state, and for those who serve as firefighter, police, disaster workers, medical personnel, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those who care for them, for the dying and those who mourn, and for those who struggle with mental illness, today we especially pray for Donna, for Amy, for Fred, and for Rose. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts, that God might heal them according to his will and grant them comfort and peace in their trials. Let us pray to the Lord. For an end to aimless violence, for the virtues of compassion and kindness, for grace to forgive those who hurt us, and for us to seek forgiveness from those we have hurt, let us pray to the Lord. For grace to recognize Christ, the Lamb of God, for boldness to confess him before the world, and for a thankful heart to acknowledge all his goodness toward us, let us pray to the Lord. For a steadfast heart in times of duress, for strength amid temptation, and for the grace of humility, so that we may not fall victim to pride and arrogance, let us pray to the Lord. For faith as we approach the Lamb of God to eat his body and drink his blood in this sacrament, for grace to keep in holy hearts what we receive upon our lips, and for the Spirit to keep us in this faith until Christ comes in his glory, let us pray to the Lord. For generous hearts, that we may humbly remember the giver of every good gift and joyfully return to the Lord our tithes and offerings, let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Lord, receive the prayers of your people according to your promise and grant to us all things needful, but keep from us all things harmful, that we may be kept safe and secure in the arms of our Savior until he comes to bring all things to their perfect fulfillment. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Where Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Heavenly Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us, and believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord's true body and blood with a living faith as he comes to us in his supper. Amen. And now we pray together as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As we have received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's take a moment and share an expression of peace in whatever way you're comfortable.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion. The congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is I Come, O Savior, to Your Table, hymn number 242 in Lutheran Worship.
Thank you.
Please join us now as we sing our second communion hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, hymn number 381 in Lutheran Worship.
Thank you.
Now join us as we sing our final communion hymn, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, hymn number 180 in Lutheran Worship.
I invite you to please stand for the post-communion prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Closing hymn is To Jordan's River Came Our Lord. The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is secretary@sjlcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Darlene Schwenk, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. Good to be back in this place. I'm sorry that we had to cancel last Sunday. Of course, as you know, there was widespread power outages in our area, and the power was out here. We made the decision, I think, about 7:15, because we have to give enough time to Lois coming out from Niagara County. So we made the decision about 7:15, and guess what time the power came back on? 8 o'clock. But what do you do? So the other thought that we had is you could do a delayed start, but that's kind of a tricky thing because we're limited on what time we can get the, we have to get the CD out to the radio station. So I don't know, we got to figure it all out, but it's what we had to do. So sorry we had to cancel last week, but at that time there was no power in here, so there's not much you can do. So good to be back with you. On the announcement end of things, just a couple of things. Mike reminded me this morning during communion that because we canceled last week, we were unable to do the installation of officers. So I forgot about that this week, which is fine because it's a communion week. So we'll do it. We'll plan to do it next week. All right. So anybody that is on church council or serving on one of the boards here at church, just be prepared for next week's installation. So we'll take care of that at all three services next week. Inside of your worship bulletin, there is a little flyer. Well, we are now officially in the 125th year as a congregation, and the anniversary committee is doing all kinds of hard work to prepare for celebrations and to draw attention to the anniversary. Here are just a few things that are happening. Of course, the big event that's coming up is in February. That'll be the kickoff of things with the spaghetti dinner. Tickets will go on sale for the dinner in the beginning of February. So we'll sell them for the first 3 weeks of February. Tickets are $5. So it's spaghetti dinner, kickoff for the anniversary, all tied in to make our annual dinner. So there's a couple things going on with that. But again, it's the kickoff for the anniversary. I really want to emphasize that part of it. So there will be a special wine toast, I guess, is the way to put it, during the meal. Each of you who attend will receive a little stemless wine glass at Helena's recommendation, because who needs a stem? So, right. On the glass is the logo for our anniversary and the theme for our anniversary. So, I think last year we had about 100, 120 people at the spaghetti dinner. So let's make it bigger this year. I'm asking a lot. It's our kickoff. So let's make it a good one. If you can be there for that, again, it's going to be February 21st at 6 o'clock. Tickets will go on sale in a few weeks. All the other stuff you can read up on, but just to kind of highlight two things. We're looking to put together a sort of memory book, as has been done in the past, and a directory. We're going to try to tie it all into one. Both of those things happened, I believe, at the 100th anniversary, but we're just going to look to do it in-house here. One of the things that we're hoping to include in that anniversary reflection book is reflections from you. Now, simple reflections. I'm not asking for pages of reflections, but just a little snippet of how St. John's is special to you, or a special memory that you experienced at St. John's, and then those will just kind of be put in that book. The other thing that we're going to do is, like I said, the photo directory, but we're going to try to do that in-house. I've made arrangements with RJ, and I think I talked to you at one time too, Ross. So between RJ and Ross and myself, we'll snap photos of you as you're coming out of church
or coming into church, just as you are. And then it'll all go on a disc and we'll format it and, you know, whatever. It'll come together, I hope it will. But that's the plan. So if you can, just anticipate that in the next couple of weeks, we'll just grab you as you're coming out and snap you as you are. All right? So that's what we're doing. The only other thing is 125 days of prayer. There'll be a candle or a calendar that will come out very, very soon, listing different subjects. And we would ask you that each day you would pray for whatever that particular theme is. We're not writing the prayer out for you, but you'll just see a theme. So let's say Rochelle's in my line of sight, the DePue Police. You know, so just say a special prayer for the DePue Police that day. Whatever it is, just however the words come to you, express those words in prayer. All right. So that'll be coming out very, very soon. What else do I want to tell you? Your statements, if you haven't grabbed your statements, make sure you grab your statements, your 2019 statements for your taxes. And I guess I should probably just give you the little heads up on the Camp Pioneer thing that we received this past week. There is a write-up up on the bulletin board, which you are more than welcome to take a look at. But I guess the bottom line is Camp Pioneer has probably reached its life. Financially, they just have been in, I guess it's been coming. Financially, they just have not been able to sustain. There was a plea that came out about 2 years ago looking for funds and things like that, and it's operationally it's become very difficult for them to sustain. So as I understand, the camp will run on bare minimum in 2020. So basically, I guess, Mike, if I'm saying something wrong here, just correct me, but where they have been obligated. So Camp Pioneer a few years ago started out doing weddings and things like that, and naturally there are weddings booked at Pioneer for 2020, and so they want to be able to fulfill those obligations, and they will plan to do that in 2020. However, the camping and the activities that are kind of usual to Camp Pioneer will more than likely not happen in 2020. And by the end of 2020, aside from some kind of miracle, Camp Pioneer will go up for sale and be sold. So that's kind of how I've understood it. It's a sad reality. But funding has just not been there for Camp Pioneer. They can't sustain on tuition from camping. And even there, I guess there's been a decline in enrollment for camping. And they've depended quite a bit on congregational support, but it's kind of a tough situation as congregations are fighting to survive. Membership is dropping in the local parish, and you know, whatever resources the congregations are bringing in, they're trying to hold on to sustain themselves. So it is a ministry. It is owned by the Eastern District of the Missouri Synod. And so once the debt is paid off, whatever Camp Pioneer is owing, whatever remaining income comes in from the camp, that will then be redirected to the Eastern District. Is that a fair description, Mike? Did I do okay? Yeah. So I know, I'm sorry, I keep looking to you, but I know that you and I conversed about it. So if you wanna see the write-up that's up on the bulletin board, it is there from the Eastern District and the Board of Directors for Camp Pioneer. Keep the whole process in your prayers. Keep the staff at Pioneer in your prayers. Alex Knowles, who's been the director for the last two years or so, whatever it's been, maybe longer than that. Alex has resigned at this point, they have a sort of, I guess he's a general manager. He's been the general manager out there for a number of years. He's going to take the director spot for now. So sad news, but our God is a God of new life. So, you know, we trust that new life will emerge from all of this too. So, all right. Anything else that I'm missing for the good of the group? All right. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.